winter's coming.
The king has returned
from the broken ruins of Babylon. This is the end of days.
Hello and welcome to End of Days Radio. This is your host, Daniel, and I am broadcasting from the beautiful Emerald City here in the Pacific Northwest. I am so happy that you are here. I am so happy. And I'm especially happy that tonight we are going to be joined by none other than Robert Stanley, who is the creator, originator, and main researcher of Unicus Magazine. And that's located at unicusmagazine.com. He has been researching UFOs for quite a while, and his research has branched out into some very interesting areas, which leads into things such as Lucifer, Enki, the Archons. And I'm going to go ahead and dial him right now.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Robert. Welcome to End of Days Radio. I'm so happy that you are joining me here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
And I just wanted to say, we have quite a bit to talk about here tonight. There's so many different ways we could start off, but I like to just go into my guest's backgrounds just a little bit to create a little atmosphere. Would you mind telling us just a little bit about what it was like or where you grew up and what it was like there and how you kind of started to become interested in this subject matter?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm 57 now. I've been to 58 countries so far. I'm currently living in Hong Kong. Grew up in Los Angeles, specifically Malibu. Lived there for over 20 years. And I continued to visit on a regular basis, even when I wasn't living there. But that's where I had most of my paranormal encounters, especially when I was younger. That's that's how I got interested in this, as you put it. Actually, it seemed to be more interested in me than I was of it. And that's what got my curiosity. In fact, in many ways, it felt like a survival mode. The way things were going for me, it really got very dramatic on September 21st, 1985, which I've told this story many, many times, so I'll just summarize it this way. I was working as a security guard at a private beach, and when I encountered a boy that was, in retrospect, I would say he was possessed. That's the religious view of it. If you're secular, you would say he was schizophrenic. In any case, whatever you want to call it, there was something very wrong with this boy, and he ran into a sliding glass door face first and was bleeding to death, and I intervened as best I could. And that's when I first saw what I intuitively felt were parasites in the air, floating in near the ceiling of the room. And I had no idea what they were. I just felt that they were parasites. And it took me, gosh, I think 2011 is when I finally realized that these things were parasites, and that, in fact, they were pretty well known to our ancestors, through various names. The Gnostics called them Archons. Christians called them demons, and so on. But in any case, that's really where it all started for me was then. And this isn't something that I really chose to do, but I guess somebody had to do it. I know that I'm not the only one, but specifically when it comes to Malibu, I guess somebody had to finally realize that there was a huge amount of paranormal activity going on there, and most of it is very bad.
Yeah, I was thinking Malibu, that's traditionally regarded as a fun, sunny, lighthearted area, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're in the Hollywood business, it's the enclave for them. It's their little playground, their little sandbox that as soon as Hollywood started, basically, they Malibu became the sister city or the getaway place for the rich and famous there in the entertainment industry. And it still is. But a lot of negative, I mean, really dark stuff has gone on there, including mind control and murder. Prior to that, it was genocide. And there's also been a lot of suicides there, which unfortunately I knew, I think, what, 8 or 9 of those people. There's a lot more than that. But yeah, it was really strange. I couldn't understand why so many people in such a small town, it is incredibly small, that so many people would be committing suicide. I mean, people that were my friends. So it didn't make any sense to me. And even as the paranormal events were unfolding around me, there was no context for that. And it took a long time for me to figure this out. And even still, I'm open to new information on a daily basis. Okay. It's not like I'm saying I have, it's not like I have a monopoly on information in this particular topic, but I've done a lot of homework. I mean, years and years and years of research of not only my own experiences, but other people's experiences, which appear to be ongoing there. So, but yeah, it's not what people think typically. No, it's not just a place to go play on the sand.
Now, how did this turn into an interest in unidentified flying objects?
Again, that was not something I was looking for. I mean, I was aware of them. Everybody is, okay. So after I had the experience in 1985, I started going back up to the mountains, one of the unintended consequences was I found some ancient, what appear to be ancient megalithic statues. And as I was exploring those ruins, there were nights when I would be up there by myself or with friends, and we would see these craft, or they would see us. It seems more like they were watching and monitoring us than we were monitoring them. I mean, because honestly, we're at a huge disadvantage when it comes to surveilling them. And they can clearly watch us. In fact, it was proven to me one night coming back down off the mountain while riding my motorcycle that they could actually read our thoughts.
And That is a spooky thought.
I'm telling you, it freaked me out big time. At that moment, I felt completely naked and alone in the sense that there was nobody I could call for help in that regard. So I think it was probably around 88 or around that time. It was a few years after this thing had really ramped up to a whole nother level. And I kind of just figured, well, they're watching me. They're here like all the time, even if I can't see them. And so that one particular night I was coming down off the mountain, I had a feeling that I was being watched. And I thought I would try an experiment. So I was looking at a particular area of the sky, very low, a dark area of the mountains, because on the coastal side of the Santa Monica Mountains, there really isn't much of anything that projects light. And so I'm looking at this area, and I mentally said, I know you're up there. Why don't you just show yourselves? I am not going to harm you. And then they turned the light on the craft, and I almost wrecked my bike because I stopped looking at the road, and I was so like petrified by it. I mean, I guess I was shocked. I was so shocked that this mental experiment had become a reality, and I'm sure I hadn't thought it through properly as to what would be the consequences of if they were reading my mind, what that would do to me. And I know people say this, it shattered my paradigm. What the heck does that mean? Well, it put a dent in my psyche for sure, because at that point I realized there was, even if I wanted to hide something, not that I do or had anything, I'm not ashamed of my life. I mean, I'm not perfect, but you know, it's not like I was doing anything that I needed to hide it. But I realized at that point there I had no privacy with these entities. And more importantly, I didn't know who they were, which was kind of upsetting. It still is in a way. I think I know them better now. But the fact that they can do this to us and we have no, we can't prevent it. And we don't know who they are or what they want. Yeah, we can speculate all day long. And I admit a lot of what I say is still speculative, even though it's based on decades of research and analysis. They don't want us to have all the facts, clearly. I mean, if they wanted to, they could easily do that, but they're not.
Yeah, I often hear that whatever it is that they want us to believe is nothing right. but a mask or a smoke screen, because if we were to really know, maybe we would either go insane or we would have some sort of tools we could use against them.
Yeah, well, it would probably be a combination of all that, maybe, and a few other things we're not thinking of, because people are unique and we don't all think alike, right? But yeah, there's typically a problem here. We have this thing, I feel like we've been programmed by them. At least the negative ones have been busy programming us to serve their agendas, which are covert, and it's all about empire, their empire, and that we're subjects of that empire. Most of us have no idea that. Obviously, people who are the elite do, and that's why they serve the empire, and of course, they're rewarded for it, but there's a price to be paid that, I mean, ultimately, they have no autonomy. They're not sovereign. They're just sellouts.
And these guys, they've actually shown up in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C.
Frequently. I mean, I had no idea until here's how that happened. It was 2005 in the spring. I received an email from Daryl Sims. Right? Do you know Daryl?
I've heard his name several times.
Okay. Well, he calls himself the alien hunter, but I mean,
oh, yeah.
he also claims he's... that he had worked for the CIA, and prior to that, he was a military police officer. He's currently a private investigator. All of that could be true, or none of it could be true. I don't know anymore. This is just how those things work. But he forwarded me an email from a professional photographer in Washington, D.C., who claimed that he had taken pictures of UFOs swarming over the Capitol on July 16, 2002, at night. Around midnight, before and after midnight on July 16th and into the morning of July 17th. So, and Daryl wanted to know, it, in my opinion, because I do a lot of photography, and specifically a lot of UFO photography that I've studied over the years, he said, "Do you think this is real?" And I told him, "There's no way I can tell. This is, you know, this is the age of Photoshop, 2005. Anybody could create anything." But it didn't really look like Photoshop. Anyway, I wasn't sure. So there was contact information there in the email. I literally picked up the phone and called this guy and said, "Hey, what's going on? I got your email from Daryl." And he started to just unwind this whole thing for me, how his family was very well-respected military family in D.C. for generations, that he was a professional photographer, that he had worked for ABC News for 14 years prior to taking those pictures. And it, more importantly, he worked for ABC News running a team of audiovisual experts, not just cameramen, but they did the camera, the audio, the feed. And that's not, I don't want to get into it, but let me tell you, that's not easy to do. That is not an easy job. Okay. It's very technical. It's very complex. And you can't screw it up or you're fired. Because when you're doing a live feed to, at the time, you know, ABC was still one of the big three. And if you screw up a live broadcast at the Capitol or the White House, you're gone. So, and he was running a team of people there. He was one of the team leaders. So he worked in Washington, D.C. for ABC News. And he wasn't working for them when he took those pictures. He was on doing a freelance assignment for a local recording artist at the Capitol that night, and he was using all top-of-the-line Nikon equipment. And it was on film, by the way, 35-millimeter film, which makes it very interesting because as I was talking to this gentleman, his name is Wilbur Allen, and I realized that this was a very interesting story. So I got back to Daryl and I said, "Look, he's got the negatives." And Daryl said, "Well, if he's willing to have those analyzed, then you've got a story." And I said, "Okay, you know, not that I wanted this story. It was just kind of evolving because Daryl's not a really, he's not much of a reporter. He's just an investigator. He doesn't like to report stuff for whatever reason. So I asked Mr. Allen if he could if he would be willing to have his negatives analyzed at an independent film lab, which he did. And it's no longer there, but it was called Penn Camera. It was right across from the FBI building, and the FBI used them frequently for their services. That's how good they were. So Mr. Allen took it in there. He had it analyzed. I spoke to the technician on the phone. This guy was not a friend of Mr. Allen's, but he was willing to, because Mr. Allen was a frequent customer, he was willing to at least just examine the slides, or excuse me, the negatives, and tell me specifically, is this retouched? He said it was absolutely not. He couldn't, but he couldn't tell me what it was. He just said, whatever it is, it's a very powerful light source or sources that he could not identify. But he said that the film is unretouched, meaning it's authentic, and the event was authentic. So, and he didn't want his name published, and I understood that, but I told him, I said, it's not going to affect your job, okay? Because you're not saying anything other than you're just a technical expert. We're not asking you to say that it's aliens or anything like that. So I was able to publish his name. Eventually, I got the photographer's name out there. As soon as I did that, I was visited by a black helicopter at my home in Los Angeles. Oh, and the main reason I think that happened is because I had actually interviewed. I spoke to a public relations officer at the Capitol building for the Capitol Police, because they're part of this story.
It doesn't take long until they start trying to put that fear into you.
Well, no, I don't think it was the Capitol Police that did it, because what I found out later was that they're not fully in charge. They sort of do the grunt work. There's a three-letter agency that's involved, and I was surprised when they told me that. I mean, because they really are just good people. As far as I can tell, the Capitol Police, that's a tough job, and for crowd control, which, I mean, as I think about what I said, I did security. I've never been a police officer, but I know about crowd control. And that's what you have. That's one of the biggest problems at the Capitol. You have tours, public tours every day. And that's a lot of people that you have to keep your eye on every second. It's like babysitting. So while they're doing that, while they're patrolling the grounds and watching the public, they're seeing these craft coming in and out, the police officers. Okay. And they can't talk about it.
So this is happening often.
Oh, it happens all the time. I mean, I don't know about every day, but based on the latest process that Mr. Allen, because he only lives seven blocks away from the White House, which is near the Capitol on the Mall. Okay, but he lives in that near one of those circles. I mean, Washington, D.C. is a small town. It's a very small city within the district. Washington, the city, okay, is inside the district. So Mr. Allen has been putting his Nikon cameras up on the roof of his home at night and doing surveillance that way. And he is catching images almost on a nightly basis of things that we can't explain. I don't know that all of them are alien craft, but they're not supposed to be there. If they are there, they're not supposed to be there. Officially, they don't exist. Therefore, if they do exist, they either have permission or they don't. Maybe they don't even need permission. Clearly, here's one of the things that came out of that investigation. And it started in 2005. I basically ended it in 2011 with the second book, each book was over 400 pages. The second one was a lot more comprehensive because I actually spent years putting that together. There's over 900 eyewitness accounts of UFO activity in Washington, D.C. from 1850 to 2011. Nobody's ever done that. Nobody will duplicate it. It's authentic. It's, you know. But it scares people. So anyway, what's happening is that this is prohibited airspace surrounded by restricted airspace. It's actually controlled from 1 inch above the ground all the way onto space. Most people don't know that. I didn't until I started the investigation. But they can't control, they cannot prohibit these craft from entering that airspace, that controlled airspace. And they know it. And that's why they don't want to admit it publicly. It would make them look, well, incompetent or impotent.
Yeah, I am aware of a UFO sighting that happened near the White House or at the White House, but this was one of the very first ones that happened way back in the day It wasn't too long after that first sighting up here in Washington, one of the first ones, and so that's kind of it just made me remember that, you know.
Yeah, you mean in the 40s?
Yes, I believe it was the 40s. Yes.
Are you saying you're in Washington State?
Yeah, Washington State.
Near State. Okay, so yeah, and look, things didn't start at Mount Rainier, and they really didn't start at Roswell, New Mexico. That is ridiculous for sure. The public record, as far as America is concerned, I think it was 42 or so, maybe it was 41. Something crashed out in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Something also crashed out near Los Angeles, up in the San Bernardino Mountains, around that same time in the early 40s. So it's a bit misleading, especially when it comes to Washington, D.C. They didn't just show up in 1952. They'd been seen there. I mean, when I first broke the story in December 2006 on Coast to Coast, a gentleman emailed me what looked like a slide photograph taken from a car that was being driven by an Air Force intelligence officer with his family in the car. It was July 4th. I think it was 1949. And he was driving down the street, and there were these UFOs over the Pentagon, over the lawn, during the day, okay? And he had his wife reach into the glove compartment, pull out his camera, and take two pictures. He submitted one of those pictures to his superiors. He kept the other one. They told him to shut up and never talk about it. And obviously, they confiscated the picture. But the other one was in this man's personal effects for many years. And then for some reason, he gave it to his nephew. And it has a box of slides. That's all it was. And then one day the nephew found it, and he said to his uncle, "What is this?" And he goes, "Oh, you found it," you know, like that. So there's a lot of weird pieces of the puzzle just laying around. And this guy who sent me the picture, hold on just a sec.
Yeah, no problem. And we are talking to Robert Stanley. He is a longtime UFO researcher, investigator into this stuff, and investigator into lots of other things as well, into the entire paranormal world. You're listening to End of Days Radio. You can listen to us every Saturday night at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time at endofdaysradio.com. You can also get us on iTunes, Stitcher, as well as you can listen to our live show on the TuneIn Radio app whenever you would like. And don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube as well.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. I just like to use the opportunity to do a little commercial, so
that's
fine.
I agree. That's a good thing. So, where was I? Oh, yeah. Okay. So this guy heard me talking. He saw some of the photographs of Washington, D.C. He sent me a copy, gave me the story. And essentially, that's what made me think this is a major, major story. There's a lot of people that know stuff. And there's no place, there's no clearinghouse for the information to go to, because officially the government says they're not investigating. There's nothing to investigate, especially when it comes to Washington, D.C. However, look, 1952, according to what Daryl told me, they felt they were being invaded. And they actually had military all over the place that were armed and ready to shoot on site. Because they didn't know who these people were or where they were coming from in these craft. It turns out that, you know, the mainstream media only reported three events. There was over 80 that year. That's why the government felt we were being invaded. And I don't disagree. I don't disagree. But it's not like it all started back in the 40s and 50s. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's very misleading. And again, I think that only serves the alien agenda for them to want us to believe that.
I'm sure you've heard this one. It's the idea that somehow our nuclear experimentation somehow attracted them. That seems to get passed around quite a bit.
And it's not entirely wrong. It did. But the reason it did is something that is lost on most people because, again, we don't have enough information to put this in the proper context. That's been my challenge for not only Malibu but especially Washington, D.C. And this is what I've learned. Right or wrong. I mean, I think it's correct or I wouldn't even mention it, but somebody could prove me wrong at some point. There's an ongoing conflict in this galaxy, and it's empirical in the sense that there's a civil war going on between empires, and we're part of that. So they own us. What I would put it in the simplest of terms, the benevolent ones created this world and all life on it. And then the malevolent or the dark forces came in and took over during the conflict. And we've been, this has been occupied territory for probably the last couple hundred thousand years. So we don't have access to not only correct information, but a lot of our memories have been wiped, and our DNA has been tampered with, genetically modified. And so we're essentially, we're subjects of an empire that we don't even know exists.
Now, one thing I hear that comes up quite often connected to not only UFOs, but the paranormal world in general, as well as the government, is the idea that there is an ancient secret society, ancient mystery school called the Illuminati that's actually in control and is probably covering up some of this stuff. Do you have any thoughts on how this Illuminati might interact with our government, or does it even exist?
Well, not as the Illuminati. I mean, they use that name. They use all kinds of names. It's basically this. It's the empire is run by an entity that you would commonly call Lucifer, which means the light bearer. That's where they call the illuminated ones. They all work within his circle, and they serve his empire. As I said, we're part of that empire. And in fact, it was him that and his administration, they decided to give us nuclear weapons and many other weapon systems over time at this time, because what's happening is we are the new Atlantis, specifically in America. That is the new Atlantis. The previous Atlantis, which Lucifer, and he's known by many different names, but let's just stick with that. He created that particular empire here to generate what we would call special forces, super soldiers, that were a contingent that what he was going to use against his family during in this civil war. And that's why this planet was, all life on it, most of the life on it was wiped out. The mess that he made was cleaned up by his family to some degree. Unfortunately, he preserved enough. He managed to save enough of the genetic material to start over again and recreate it. And we're at that stage now where we are doing everything that Atlantis did before. And it's still administrated by the same entities for the same agenda, and which it's really bad, because for us, we are legitimate targets in this civil war because of this activity that's going on covertly.
And what's so interesting about that is I've talked to quite a few people, as well as, you know, done my own research, and I've had a Freemason, high-ranking Freemason, admit to me on the show that yes, indeed, at the highest level of their secret society, they are Luciferian. And yes, he told me, hey, it's not so bad, I should look at it.
No. Yeah, of course they say that. And they're actually, they call themselves the inner circle, because they're protected by outer circles of people that are completely unaware of what we're discussing here. They don't know. They think they're just doing good work. And on some level they are, but they're actually just shielding. They're just... it's a facade. And like all these other groups, whether you call them Illuminati or Masons or CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderbergers, you name it, they're all serving at some point Lucifer. And he's not alone. Let me put it this way. When I say Lucifer, I'm talking about a real entity. He doesn't have wings. He's a semi-immortal, once divine being. He's a humanoid that is amphibious. In the Middle East, he's also known as Oannes. He comes up out of the water wearing a sort of like a fish suit. That was the best way they could describe it. Well known to the Dogon tribe, as the Nomo, the fish people. So, but he's the problem in here is it's not just his ego. From what I understand, he's actually insane, which is a dangerous thing. When you take a divine being like that, that has incredible intellect and ability, if somebody like that were to go mad, they're dangerous, really dangerous. And he is. He's also royalty. most people don't know this. They talk about the kingdom of heaven and the Father and all this stuff. My understanding at this point from reading Wes Penry's papers, which I find fascinating, okay? I'm not saying that they're 100% accurate. I think even Wes knows that, but very, very informative for me when I first started reading him a few years ago. He says that Lucifer was born a prince to the Orion Empire, and that at some point he was denied kingship. Now, Wes thought it was because he's basing it on the Christian narrative that Lucifer had fallen because of his ego, refused to serve God, etc. My understanding is that he actually went insane, and that is a unique perspective. I don't know if it's true, but it could be. It certainly could be, because we've seen examples of it when people are traumatized here, humans. When they're traumatized, they suffer what they call disassociation or multiple personality disorder. And so it turns out a friend of my dad wrote a book called originally called Sunburst, Return of the Ancients. His name was Norman Paulson. He started a group called Sunburst in Santa Barbara. They were, my dad and Norman were both disciples of Paramahansa Yogananda. And so they were studying meditation, et cetera, back in the 50s. Norman claims that he was contacted by benevolent human extraterrestrials back in the 50s. And part of what they told him was that Lucifer had gone mad because he entered a, they called it a forbidden zone. I don't know what that means, but it was forbidden for a reason. Apparently Lucifer and his crew didn't feel that it should be off limits to them, and they foolishly ventured in there and were so badly traumatized they went insane. This is interesting to me too, because according to, and it took me a long time to understand this, but when they were there, they inadvertently created these mental parasites, which I saw back in 1985. Now, they've been around for a long time, as I told you. They brought those things here. They were self-infected by these thought forms. And I know that sounds weird for anybody who's like wondering, what's the matter with me? Why am I talking about thought forms? Everything is a thought form, in case you didn't know it. And let me break it down real quick for you. There's a new model out there. It's new to us, called digital physics. And it says that consciousness is primary. And in fact, science, I see in the, news articles are actually talking about this now. Everything could be made of consciousness. And so how is that possible? Well, because everything is waveforms. And we know that to be true, right? It's been proven to be true. But it's also, it is conscious. It is, the slit experiment proves this, okay? The observer affects the outcome. How is that possible? Because everything's connected. That's what Bell's theorem tells us. It's called entanglement, right? So all these waveforms, thought forms, are connected to each other. So there's definitely, there's an intelligence there. And what happened is that consciousness is, as a wave, can take different vibratory rates or phase states. Just like you have a drop of water that's a solid, a liquid, or a gas, you can have a wave of consciousness that could be either pure consciousness, energy, or matter, depending on its vibratory rate. Okay? That's my, sorry, I know a lot of people have heard me say this before, but it's, this should have been taught to us like day one. As soon as we were in school, they should have told us this, because it has a practical application in that this is how creation occurs. Everything that we know and see and are, it was created through consciousness. That's not going to change, okay? But what happens is, if your consciousness is screwed up, if it becomes fragmented or disassociated or damaged, it's not going to function properly, right? Mm-hmm. So this is, and that's the problem with Lucifer and those around him, is that they are, their consciousness is, it has no integrity. So they're not fully coherent, and they cannot, therefore, they can't use their divine essence of their soul to generate those waves of consciousness and manifesting. Now, for people who've never heard this before, a thought form, and it's going to sound weird, but the Tibetan, some of the higher level of Tibetan monks, they claim that they can actually create a thought form that will attack their enemies. If they feel threatened, they claim they can do this. And I don't doubt it. I think that like I said, that's a really negative way to look at it. I've also seen examples where people claim that they can manifest things with their consciousness for good. And I'm sure that's what we were originally designed to do.
It seems like the Tibetans have some sort of leftover magic or knowledge from the old ancient worlds that doesn't seem to exist anywhere else.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because that should be common knowledge, as I said, but it's not. Okay, we just have to deal with it. And we've been so badly manipulated and lied to for so long, it's really difficult. It's very difficult, if not impossible, for most of us to even comprehend what we're discussing here. Is it sounds like, you know, science fiction or something, but it's not. Unfortunately, my understanding is, and this is really what happened in 2011. I was unable to figure out what are these parasites? Why are they here? And where they came from? Even though I actually had the information. That was given to me early on. I think it was 86. A friend gave me that book, but it's now called Christ Consciousness. And you can read that on my website. That particular excerpt is there in the article section of unicusmagazine.com. Just click on articles and go down to Birth of the Archons, and you can read that. I thought that was a very important clue, but it still wasn't giving me the proper context. I needed some clarity on this issue. And like I said, I've been struggling for decades to figure out what is going on here. And the best analogy I would have to say for people is that, in summary, is that I didn't make this up, okay, but it's an old saying. In war, the first casualty of war is truth. And this is where propaganda comes into, which we see obviously it's proliferating like crazy right now again. But it's been a problem here for a long time that we're not being given access to valid or true, accurate information. So in 2011, I felt like I'd hit a wall with this information and these entities. I knew they existed, but I didn't know. I was just confused, really. And so I started, you remember I told you I was in contact. I knew they were watching me, whoever they are. So I asked, I said, can you please help me figure this out? Because I'm just at a loss at this point. I feel like I'm at a dead end. So after I asked for help mentally, I started to find that I kind of forgotten I even did that, but it was weird. It's like books that I'd read, you know, a long time ago suddenly were just like, I'd look at it again and read it like I was starting over. And it was making a lot more sense to me. Stuff like, you know, Castaneda's books and this book by Norman Paulson and others, other people too, had to reread the Gnostic texts, what little we could have of them. And so I was starting to get a better picture of it. And then one morning I was taking a shower and I literally saw in my mind's eyes, like, wait a second, there's pictures of these things. I remember seeing pictures of these things. So as soon as I got out of the shower, I ran down my computer and I dialed up Trevor Constable in the 50s. He took pictures accidentally of these things using infrared film out when he was out in California in the deserts out there.
Oh, those are pictures. Those pictures I believe you had on – you probably still have on your website.
Yeah. But a lot of people had seen those, but I mean nobody had ever equated them with being these mental parasites. All they knew that, you know, he captured something of something weird – and that it was probably real, but they didn't know if it was a spaceship or if it was an entity. What? Anyway, those things, that's what I saw. And there was at least, I don't know, more than five or six of them. It was a small little grouping of them in the room when I was there saving that boy who was bleeding to death. And they were feeding off of the energy released by the boy and his grandparents, and I guess to some extent myself, because of the blood sacrifice that was taking place there. They had whispered into his – or he was hearing voices. I knew that actually, and that's when I saw them. At some point when I was helping the family, I realized the boy was hearing voices. I don't know where that realization came from, but it did. When that hit me, I suddenly saw these things. To me, it looked like they just manifested in the room up by the ceiling. And they were very dark looking, but I thought, wow, those look like ticks. which I'm familiar with having grown up in Malibu. That's a problem when you go hiking. Ticks are not good, okay, for you or your pets. They're not good. So and then it faded away. They faded out. So I wasn't sure what was going on at the time, but in retrospect, I would say that they were still there. I just couldn't see them, much like the UFO stuff. Our vision is extremely limited to the full spectrum of what we know the full spectrum to be, right? Like from ultraviolet to infrared. Mm-hmm. We can only see a tiny, tiny portion of the middle band.
Yeah, I've seen some of those pictures. A guy named David Serena talks about them a lot. The NASA UFO videos where they film in the ultraviolet spectrum and all kinds of things show up. It's so strange.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why modern cameras have an infrared filter in them. Because if they didn't, they're far more sensitive to background radiation. If you took a picture without with a camera, a regular camera, if it didn't have an infrared filter in there, and you took a picture, you go, what is this? I didn't take it. That's not what I saw. So the cameras have to be dumbed down just to pick up the frequencies, only the frequencies that we see.
Yeah, that is just the idea of that is so creepy. It makes you wonder because sometimes people will see blobs, shapes, shadow beings, all kinds of things. And it just makes you wonder, why do some people see these things and not others? Some people see them all the time.
Yeah, which is a problem for them, obviously, because if other people don't and you do, then then obviously somebody's crazy. And obviously it can't be, the majority of people can't be crazy. And I mean, when I mean crazy, I mean like impaired. It's what I'm talking about. It's not like they're nuts. It's just that it's making them crazy. They don't realize that this is an infection. I mean, this is one of the things that I thought was kind of a breakthrough. When I, in my article, I described it, I defined evil as an infection. So psychopathic behavior is really a symptom of this infection or corruption of our consciousness through these parasitic thought forms.
One of the biggest topics going around nowadays is Pizzagate, organized pedophilia. And I remember an old interview on Coast to Coast with Father Malachi Martin. And he actually said there was a lodge of pedophiles in the Catholic Church called the Lodge of Lucifer, which I think really confirms a lot of what you're talking about.
Yes, and they've also, with the new Pope, Pope Benedict prior to the current one, Francis, right? Mm-hmm. Benedict retired. He retired early because he couldn't deal with it. He was so disturbed by all the pedophilia and the satanic Luciferian stuff, he walked away from it. And then so Francis was the next choice. So recently, if you read my article called Technocide, I start off by saying, even though I'm talking about artificial intelligence, I make the declarative statement that that is all from Lucifer. All this crazy technology, especially AI, it's coming from him. And it's not for our benefit. But I also explain that he is the one who created all religions on this planet to serve him under false pretenses. And that's not an easy thing for me to say. But when I guess I should tell everybody, maybe you already know, after I saw the parasites in the room, they started attacking me. And I ended up going up on top of a mountain that night and praying. And what happened was I had an out-of-body experience, and that's when I met Lucifer. I didn't know that's who he was. All I knew was that it was the most unusual thing I've ever seen in my life. Even though he looked like a man, specifically he pretended to look like Jesus. That's how he portrayed himself.
Did he just come walking towards you?
No. Well, sort of. I mean, I was, like I said, so I was sitting up on the mountain for hours, meditating, praying, whatever you want to call it. At some point I became very tired and I laid down. I was in a wilderness area, by the way. There's nothing there except some. There was a little bit of ruins of a building that the military had put up there. It was an old radar installation. So I laid down on this cement slab, and moments later, I floated out of my body. I was not asleep. And I was in this white light and I felt safe. And then, but then I noticed there was something moving, and it appeared to be moving towards me. And as it got closer, I realized that I could see it was a man, or what appeared to be a man, and that he looked like Jesus in the sense that long hair, beard, robe, but he was glowing, incredibly bright, even brighter than the light we were in, and even his eyes had light coming out of them, which would, I guess, you know, that's why they call him the light bearer, because he can do that. That's one of his things, attributes. But anyway, he came, literally got right up in my face, and I thought to myself, whoa, who is that? And I hear a voice tell me, I am the Father. Well, that didn't make any sense to me. I mean, I'm not stupid. I was 25, but I knew. I obviously had read. My dad was a minister. I knew about religion. If you appear to, you know, if you look like Jesus and you say you're the Father, it's like, okay. So you're saying you're God? I mean, anyway, it was just like 1,000 questions raced through my mind at that moment. And he started laughing. And unfortunately, it wasn't a good laugh. And I know for a long time I used to say this publicly, that it wasn't evil. Because I'm just embarrassed to say the fact that he really screwed with my head. But it was very sinister the way he was laughing. And it actually scared me. Really scared me. And I sat. And the next thing I know, I was sitting bolt upright. I mean, just wham. And I thought maybe a few seconds had passed by, or at the most, maybe a minute or two had gone by. I just thought it was a weird, like, vision. Because, like I said, I wasn't asleep. But I'd had an out-of-body experience before at least once, so I knew what was going on to some extent, but I didn't know who this character was. And then I looked over to the horizon, because when I first lay down, the moon was almost directly above me. But when I sat up, the moon was now setting on the horizon, and I thought, wait a second, that means hours have gone by, and I'm laying on a slab of cement, and I mean, I don't even sleep that good in a bed, you know? And it just seemed weird. It's like, how could that be? So I knew something had happened, but I just wasn't sure what it was. And I mean, I was just confused, to say the least. Really, I was very, very, very confused. So when the sun came up shortly after that, I went back down to the beach where I was working, and I checked on the boy. And the grandparents said that he was going to live. He'd lost a lot of blood, had to have over 300 stitches in his face and head. That's how severe it was. That's amazing he even lived through that. God, he lost a lot of blood.
There was a case that happened in, I think it was Indonesia, where an entire school, as well as teachers, they all became possessed. It's so crazy.
No, that's called hysteria. And that's what, I mean, that's what, from a secular point of view, that's what they call it. And see, what I'm trying to tell you is they know it's communicable. Which, that just proves my point. What I'm saying is accurate. If this behavior, psychopathic behavior, schizophrenia, if it really is caused by a parasite, then of course you can, it is contagious. So in the mental health profession, they call it, when one person passes it on to another, they call it, I'm sorry, I'm having a flash here. I'll think of it in a minute. When it happens to a group of people, it's called hysteria. I forget the other term for when it's
similar to a mob mentality in a way.
Yeah, but that's the technical term. And it turns, if you look out, I forget the exact, break it down. I didn't know this, but if you Google the word hysteria, you'll find out it means something completely different than what you may have thought. I mean, everybody assumes they know what it means, but it's like anything else. It has an origin. And there's sort of a historic and very interesting fuller meaning behind the word. But in any case, yeah, it happens to groups of people. And the reason they do this to us is so that they can feed. This is how they survive. And the movie The Matrix was an analogy. It was trying to tell us or warn us that we are their battery. We are their energy source. And that's how they survive.
And this fits right in with, like you said, the Castaneda stuff.
It does, but he only mentioned it briefly. He calls them the Flyers. Look, Castaneda, that's not even his real last name. I forget what it is off the top of my head, but he made that name up. He's a plagiarist. I mean, he's quite a con man from Peru. But the books were interesting, especially when I was young. In my teens, I was reading that. It was, you know, fascinating. I had no idea that he actually wrote those first two books while he was living in Malibu. But I'd heard rumors, but I know that for a fact now. And in any case, the man that he calls Don Juan doesn't exist. I mean, not as that. He was basically creating a composite character based on real people that he had met or heard about. So I think that he must have heard about or was informed about these entities, these Flyers. I don't know if he ever encountered them himself. I kind of think he did. In fact, it's as he got older, I think he really was infected by them. And, you know, his life ended not well. I mean, it was not a good thing. But typically, the signs of people that are heavily infected is psychopathic behavior or hearing voices or both. And people that are psychopathic have no empathic ability. They have no empathy. They cannot feel any emotions for them for themselves or, more importantly, towards others, which makes them dangerous.
Definitely.
But it also
you're talking about the guy that does terrible things to people and just does not feel bad about it.
Right. Or here's the other, and yes, which makes them incredibly dangerous. It also makes them highly effective politicians. That's why they excel at that, because they don't have any empathy. So, and they're drawn to that. And what the other thing is, I found out, is that psychopaths can and often do pretend like they have emotions so that they can trick people that are normal into lowering their defenses and trusting them. So that's a huge problem as well.
And it seems that the name of the game is energy. Somehow with the pedophilia, the psychopathic behavior, it all seems to just filter up to somewhere.
It does. Well, and yeah, I've wondered about that myself. And here's what I came to the awareness was that it's not sexual. It's about, yes, they're drawing energy. And children obviously have a lot of they possess a lot of energy. But more importantly, the ones that actually live through that kind of torment, they are forever infected and affected. So in other words, they're broken down, they become multiple personality disordered, and they are heavily infected with the parasite. And this is all done intentionally, by the way. It's not just an accident. This is done to procreate. This is how they preserve themselves. So they're not just feeding, they are breeding.
Yeah, I've heard from, or I've read, I'm sorry, from reading into the occult world that a person can abuse a child and actually bind a demon to that child by breaking them down. It's the same thing, it seems like.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. But the person is doing this not because they want to, it's because they have to. That person is infected. It's sort of like the vampirism. You know, vampires, they pass it on, that their infection becomes whoever they bite supposedly becomes infected too, right?
Oh, yes.
Most of the time, right? So that's really what it is. And, you know, so a lot of times drugs are involved too, specific drugs like methamphetamine, cocaine. Those are mixed in. I found this out recently regarding this Pizzagate thing, that people are foolishly taking online. They're buying things like Viagra and Cialis, not knowing that there are other drugs mixed in there. And what happens, they become not only addicted to that drug, but it opens them up for being infected or possessed, depending on your perspective.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And one thing that I've noticed, and I'm bringing this up because I actually watch and enjoy this show, whatever the intention is, but have you seen this new show on Fox called Lucifer?
Yeah. I'd laugh really hard right now, but I have a side ache. Yeah, it was actually a couple years ago, a Luciferian from the Middle East contacted me and said that he and his group were offended by what I was saying about Lucifer, and that he's really a good guy, and he's got his own show coming out on Fox. And I'm like, wow, okay, whatever, you know. But yes, I can't watch that in Hong Kong. I have on the internet, I was able to see a little bit of it. I've read also a lot of descriptions of the show, summaries, and I see what they're trying to do. And I do find it interesting that they would put him in Los Angeles. And believe it or not, what's most fascinating is that the Los Angeles police detective that he works with, that woman,
yeah,
Decker, her mother is lives in Malibu. Oh. In the storyline, you gotta think now, who's writing this crap? It's people in Hollywood that are clearly part of the cabal. They are heavily infected. And they know what they're doing. This is propaganda. It's public relations. It kind of reminds – it's the modern version of Zachary Sitchin's work. Okay, why did I just say that? I'm sure you and a lot of your audience have read Zachary Sitchin's stuff.
Right? I have read every single thing that he's ever written.
Okay, so in his narrative, Enki is the good guy. He's the victim, right?
Yes, there's a whole book just dedicated to Enki.
No, yeah, that read the if you have it, go back and read the foreword to the book, and you'll see that he says right in there that that's just his interpretation. That is Sitchin's imagination, but it's presented as fact. It looks like all the other books, as by the way, it reads like all the other stuff. But the Lost Book of Enki is not. It's not from any source other than Sitchin's imagination or mind. Which is disturbing to say the least, because Zachary Sitchin was a classmate of George Soros at the London School of Economics, which is run by the Rothschild family, and they all work directly for Enki.
David Icke has thrown some strong accusations at Sitchin. He's accused him of being one of these reptilian hybrids.
I don't disagree. I spoke to Mr. Sitchin a few times on the phone. I also met him in person at Los Angeles at a convention. And so I do think there was something really odd about him. I don't know what exactly. Yeah, it's possible. That is a possibility. But ultimately what he did, much like what George Soros does with society, with the currency and funding all these community organizations
eugenics.
No. He funds through his groups. He funded the Black Lives Matter, what was before the Occupy Wall Street.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He funded that. All right. So what does that do? It's all about order from chaos. That's the Masonic motto. They break things down so that they can rebuild them the way they want it to be. It's not a secret, okay, but that's what they do. So Sitchin, what he did was he broke down the old paradigm, the old narrative, and he built a new one where that Enki is now the victim, and he is our father, he is our savior, and he's the one that we should all basically look up to. But Enki is Lucifer. He's known by many different names, but just let's be clear about something here. Enki is Lucifer.
So in other words, the narrative that Sitchin puts forward, it's inverse. He's actually switched
yes.
it. Are you telling me that Enlil is actually the good one?
Well, no. What I'm saying to you is that there's a lot more to that story than what Sitchin presented in, out of context. And I don't think he did this on his own. I doubt very much that he was doing this on his own. I think he was put up to the task like a modern day scribe. So he was under the influence, is what I'm saying, just like Soros or the Rothschilds. They all, whether he knew it or not, he was serving the agenda. He was part of the Luciferian agenda. And Enlil, now there was two. That's a title. Like most of these beings, it's a title. And there's the king, and then there's the prince. And no, they don't live on some fictional planet called Nibiru. They have an entire empire, a galactic empire. It's not some part of our solar system. I mean, this, let me put it this way. This solar system used to be part of the Orion Empire originally. And then when the Civil War broke out, this solar system became part of Lucifer's empire, his rebel, illegitimate rebel empire. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. One thing that Sitchin does talk about that seems to fit into some of this stuff are the pyramids. I did have a note here. I did want to ask you if you have any idea what those things are.
There's a lot of them. Do you mean the more advanced ones, the earliest ones, or the most advanced ones? Do you mean Egypt, because they're all over the planet?
Yeah, most specifically the Great Pyramid.
Okay, yeah. So 10 years prior to my experience in Malibu, I was in the Great Pyramid. I was with my parents. I was 15 at the time. But my parents chose not to go inside. For whatever reason, I ended up going into the Queen's Chamber, which is the lower chamber of the two. I was there by myself for a period of time. And then I ascended the Grand Gallery, and I entered the so-called King's Chamber. There was a tour group in there. There was a tour guide, a local guy, wearing one of those, you know, the typical Egyptian robe type. He was obviously a local guy. And I have no idea what he was telling people because I wasn't part of the group. But as I walked in there, for some reason, he had a wooden mallet, and he struck that stone box. It's called a coffer. Some people refer to it as a sarcophagus. I don't think it's either, but whatever. He struck that thing, and it was like a tuning fork. It rang like a tuning fork in that room, which the room is rectangular. The box is rectangular. And at the time, I had been playing violin in orchestra for many years at that point, and I was very sensitive to not just music, but a tone, because that's, in case people don't know, when you're in an orchestra, the first thing you do before you play is everybody listens to a note. It's usually A. I think it's always A, 440. And everybody has to tune their instrument to that note so that it doesn't sound excruciatingly bad when everybody's playing. So in any case, when I heard this note, I was just like, almost like reflexively, I was tuning into it or tuning up towards it. I think they say it's an F sharp, whatever it is. It's a very unusual tone. The other thing about it, I heard it literally circling the room. It was bizarre. I'm listening to this thing and I'm feeling this wave coming through. And at that moment, you know how people say I blacked out?
Yeah.
Okay. I had a white out. My vision went completely white. It was bizarre. And I mean, my eyes were wide open. I was like, and I had no idea this was coming. But when it happened, everything went white. And the next thing I know, I felt like I was outside the pyramid looking at it. Which to say I was surprised would be an understatement, but I'm like utterly confused at what's going on. And as the sound from the box receded or diminished, I felt myself come back into the room, back into my body. And there was a really loud hissing sound in my ears as the event started to just dissipate. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, wow, did everybody just, I mean, I kind of really thought everybody would, that was the whole purpose, right? I thought everybody had a movie, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't know what was going on. And I'm just looking at everybody's face and I'm thinking, God, did they all see what I saw? I don't know. That's really strange. And then I tried to talk to the tour guide, but he didn't speak much English. And I was asking him, why did you do that? Why did you do that? He, no help at all. Absolutely none. So I know I'm not answering your question directly. I studied those specifically that structure ever since then, trying to figure out what's going on. Again, there's a lot of speculation as to who built it and why, but we don't have any definitive answers. Allegedly, there's a whole library underneath there, underneath the Giza plain, under the pyramid, that's accessible through the pyramid if you know how to get in. But when I say library, I'm talking about things that we would typically think of as CDs. But there's no hard proof of that. It's an intriguing story, and I wish I had more information to give you on it. But at this point, I don't think, again, like everything else we're discussing, we're not supposed to know. I do think there was a time when we had access to a lot more information, specifically in Egypt. The Zeptepi, that time of the gods, when they were still freely among us, we had a lot more access to certain information for whatever reason. I think I'll tell you what it is. There was an entity that everybody's familiar with, I think, called Thoth.
Yes.
He was a scribe of the gods at the time. Again, he's another guy known by many different names. But in Egypt, he was known as Thoth, and his father is known as Ptah. That's another name for Lucifer or Enki. One of his brothers is named Ra. And at some point, the way I understand it is that Ptah or Enki, Lucifer, left here and left one of his sons in charge, and that was Ra. And Ra decided that it was a good idea to destroy or hide all the libraries that were accessible to some humans. And we've been suffering ever since in ignorance because of that. I believe Thoth was banished, possibly even killed, because he was considered, dangerous to the current administration. I don't think he agreed with his brother that we should be completely ignorant about our origins. So I hope he's still available, but I mean, I think at the very least, he was banished from this world.
Now, one thing that sometimes confuses me is we often have two interpretations of the adversary or the enemy of God. One is this Satan guy who's fire and brimstone, horns on his head, the bad man. And then you have Lucifer, who's an angelic light bringer. Why is this? What's going on here? Are Satanists and Luciferians, are they worshiping the same being? Is it two different beings? Yeah. Is there a reason for this? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I know it's convoluted. It's very, very difficult to understand, and that's by design. Again, you know, I mean, it took me a long time to even come to the point where we can have this conversation, but I understand what Christian people are thinking about this, that Lucifer was this angelic being, and at some point he fell from grace, and he was confined here on this planet, and that's when they called him Satan. I totally disagree. This is more false narrative created by him to confuse us. I believe that he came here a long time ago with a contingent of his forces, took over by force, illegitimately, killed most of the intelligent life here, and remade it in his image. In essence, he did a genetic modification. Remember what I said about him not being able, he and his people not being able to create with their consciousness anymore? It's huge. All they can do is manipulate. So they are mad scientists in that regard. They cannot create divinely with their soul energy, their consciousness. They can only manipulate. It's not a small thing. I mean, there's nothing wrong with science and technology, but they've taken it to a whole nother level, and they use it for malevolent purposes, to manipulate, to control, to continue their crazy ass agenda, which in a way I understand. Okay. He feels that it was his birthright as a prince of the empire, as the eldest prince of the empire. He was supposed to ascend to the throne, but when he returned home and was insane, his parents said to him, well, we can't let you do that because that would be irresponsible. You're not fit to rule. You're mad. You're ill, you know? So he said, okay, screw you guys. I'll go off and start my own empire, and that's how the war in heaven started. My understanding of it, okay? I know that's totally contradictory to what some people believe, but so be it. We're just having a discussion here, okay? I'm not condemning anybody. And I don't appreciate it when people try and convince me otherwise, because it took me a long time to come to this conclusion. If you want to base your reality on faith alone, if you want to take the word of a completely corrupt system, that is there designed to enslave you, fine. That's your prerogative. Go for it. Hang on to that as long as you want. Let's see how far you get with it, because I know for a fact he presented himself as the Father to me. I know who he is. So does the Catholic Church. They know he's the Father of Christ. I know that sucks when I say that. People are like, oh, you must be evil, Robert. You're son of Satan. No. I know that Satan is Lucifer's other son. He is Ra. He is Marduk. He's the one that's in charge. When Lucifer left here at some point in the past, he put Ra, Satan, and when I say Ra, I mean R-A, the god Ra. He is the one who's in charge here. So, okay, now people say, well, then where does Christ fit into all this? Well, that whole narrative was designed to traumatize people to the point where they would worship a savior, right? We cannot do anything about this on our own. We have to have a savior. Well, if you remember what Christ said, allegedly, he was always talking about his father. He and his father were one. His father in heaven. My understanding is that that's who he was talking about. He was talking about Lucifer. And if you read my article, Technocide, you'll see I have links there. Twice recently, the Catholic Church has said this, that Lucifer is Christ's father. I don't know how they know this. I don't really care. The point is that they do know it, and they're acting accordingly. They know that Lucifer's coming back at some point to personally administrate what comes next. And it isn't good for us. It's part of his agenda is to, as they've been doing covertly for decades here, under false pretenses, they have created a so-called secret space program with super soldiers. And the only reason they did that is because they are going to use them as tools to attack the court of Orion on behalf of Lucifer.
That explains so much, because I've been getting really into the super soldier stuff recently. They seem almost like it makes sense, because you think, why would they even need people like this? It seems like extreme overkill. You need these guys with psychic powers and stuff like that.
What, to fight the reptilians, right? Or the insectoids or whatever. This is why we cannot have a direct dialogue with any extraterrestrials. Because at some point, if there was a question and answer period, and we were actually allowed to vet anything, this is all going to come out sooner or later, okay? Whether they like it or not, everything is going to be revealed. That's part of the healing process. The way it was, so once I finally got some help in clarifying where the parasites came from and how they exist or persist, the next question was like, okay, now I understand the problem. How is this going to be resolved? Because again, I have no idea. I could theorize all day long, but I mean, I wanted to know what the benevolent ones felt was going to be their plan of action. Because I know that they're concerned about this. This isn't a small thing. It's not isolated just to our world. So they have to do something. And more importantly, we're not insignificant. We're part of that entire family. Always have been. Always will be. And they do care about us. Very much so. But the fact that we've become a threat again, a legitimate threat in this conflict, is a huge issue. They don't want to harm us. But they don't want us to harm them either. Especially out of ignorance on behalf of Lucifer. So,
do you suppose something's happening right now where
of course
people are waking up to this? Maybe that's why more people are able to see these beings and craft.
Yes, and that's what I was leading up to, is that when I was mentally asking, could you please give me an idea? How are you going? What is your idea of a resolution to this conflict? And I was shown that that Lucifer would return, that the UN and the Vatican were going to be completely behind it, again, under false pretenses. He's going to show up and say, I'm here to save the day, right? And okay, fine, you know, go ahead, try it. But of course, a lot of people will fall for it again, because things, they'll engineer some chaotic event, and, you know, people will be freaking out and going, oh my God, they're here to save us. And I know we're programmed to that. It's called the Stockholm Syndrome. That's what scientists call it, but it's, we really are screwed up in that regard. We've been, programmed to believe that or react to that without question, most of us. But anyway, when they showed up, that's one of the reasons that the benevolent ones have been projecting waves of energy towards us that would help reactivate parts of our being, specifically our DNA that has been dormant or switched off for quite some time. So that's why, yes, to answer your question, that's why we see more information coming out and more people waking up, specifically since 2012. I think that was really a tipping point. It has nothing to do with a calendar. It's part of an agenda or a contingency plan to help rehabilitate our consciousness.
That definitely falls in line with my experience. I actually started this show around 2012 and had an experience very similar where I felt waves of energy, something weird going on in my spine. I felt like I was being recombobulated somehow and came out of it feeling totally different.
Yeah, I think the reprogramming is part of it. It's more like deprogramming. That's the thing. Because here's what I was trying to say before. If we're all connected, and science calls this entanglement, it's not my imagination. However, I've seen it. I was shown it. It's like a web. Well, it looked to me like a web of light that connects everything, which was amazing to me, all right? Because that was back in the 80s, and internet didn't even exist yet. And the internet's okay, but it's really very corrupt, and it's such a joke compared to what really exists already throughout all of creation. And we're connected to that. So, look, if you think of it in terms of the internet, right? If you were only access the internet through dial-up right now, you know how much information and stuff you'd be missing just because you're sitting there waiting to try and even connect? And a lot of stuff you couldn't even get. You wouldn't be able to access. File's too big. Sorry.
Yeah.
Right? But in that analogy, if you suddenly had broadband connectivity with a high-speed modem, what do you think you'd see? A lot more. I'd tell you right now. Sorry, rhetorical question. But, yeah, you'd see a lot more, right? And that's the problem. That's why some people, it's a problem for people that actually have that ability or somehow stumble onto that broadband connectivity. And they're like, what is all this stuff? Where'd that come from? So what's happening with these waves of energy, the way it was explained to me is that this isn't over yet. 2012 was a tipping point, but we're still, we're not out of this thing yet. So this is why last year, especially, oh my God, a lot of things were revealed. We're not there yet. What I saw was that there would be a point somewhere in the future where everybody would know everything, whether they liked it or not. And I guarantee you, a lot of people aren't going to like it. They're not. They're going to be really, really upset and freaking out because they don't know how are you supposed to deal with it. My understanding is at that point, people need to make a choice. They are going to be given a choice because free will is a huge part of this whole process. It's not a theory. It's not, I guess you'd say it's not even a right. It's inherent in our nature. And here's why. The way this thing is growing is a fractal, a holographic fractal. Without free will, it would just keep getting bigger. There would be no true individuation. Each cell that we are, each soul is a cell within this creation. It would have no individual, unique ability. It would not be growth. It would just be expanding. It wouldn't really, there would be no, nothing new would be going on. So this is why that it has to be, well, that's my understanding. That's the prime directive. It's not something out of Star Trek. Really, free will, it's not only for like a few people. It has to be respected in everybody. And that's why what's been going on here is a huge violation. And they know it. These Luciferians do know what they're doing. And that's one of the reasons that they trick us into agreeing to doing stuff under false pretenses. And the analogy for that was and is obviously Eve being tricked into eating the apple, then handing it to Adam. That's just a metaphor. but I think it's sufficient to kind of just illustrate the fact that we've been duped for a long time.
I have kind of a weird question to throw at you.
Yeah, please.
And I apologize if this is strange.
Go for it.
I was just wondering, since our life force, our kundalini, our chi are all connected, and I'm asking because I've heard this before, the accusation, but do you suppose that a lot of this pornography that's on the internet, is this designed to somehow farm our energy or lower our vibration?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. And absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's corrupting the consciousness because the connection between us as sexual beings is corrupted. And there's something more going on between humans when it's not just physical. There's an energy there. There's an energy exchange. And that's what I was saying before about during sex, that people are energetically more open. And this is why if a person has sex with somebody who's infected, we know for a fact you can get infections from sex, right? Right? Sexual disease, whatever, right? Okay. Sexually transmitted diseases are not just physical. There's another one. There is these parasites that can be passed from one person's aura to the other. And this is, again, this is one of the reasons pedophilia is such a big deal. Because, like I said, it's not just about gratification. It's about passing on these parasites, vectoring them from one person or host to the other. But, pornography is just part of it. People now are being programmed or encouraged to think about having sex with robots, AI. If you haven't read my article, Technocide, you really should. Because it's not just an article. You can, after you read my brief introduction, and you start looking at the headlines that are in the news, you'll see that I'm not exaggerating what's going on here. This is for real. And it's actually not new. This is very ancient technology. It's just being unveiled again. And it's not for our benefit. It's not for our benefit at all. But anyway, the first step is to get us to have so-called sex with inanimate objects. Even though they've been animated, they're not really... they have no soul, right?
It's here. The virtual reality, it just came out on the PlayStation, the computers. It's actually arrived.
But no, I'm talking about physically having sex with automatons or robots.
Oh, I suppose that'd be next. So you have something you can actually build.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's a lot closer than you think, unless you're paying attention. And this is something that Wes Penry and I have been collaborating on. He wrote a book about this, and I helped him put it together, and I've been promoting it. And you can get a link to that for free on my website, either in the library or you can go to the articles. And again, just click on Technocide, and it's one of the first links on that page is to Wes Penry's new book about the dangers of AI. But it's not something we managed to do on our own, and it's not for our benefit. It's to further enslave us, and more importantly, to administrate the next level of what comes. I mean, what's coming next is, and I've written about this as well, is that officially we're going to go to the moon and build a colony. They call it they're literally calling it a moon village, and that they're going to print it using 3D printers, using local material, and we're also going to go to Mars. It's not going to be completely regulated by governments. There's a lot of private industry that are going to be involved. Thing is, they've already been doing this behind the scenes because there's ancient bases up there. That's another thing you can read on my article called Digital Deception. You can see that clearly there's things up there that shouldn't be, or at least not according to the common belief, right? What we've been told is there's nothing up there. Until we get there. And it's just the opposite. It's reverse. There's a lot of stuff up there. Most of it's underground, but there's stuff on the surface too. It's clearly visible. So why do we got to do that now? Well, because it's time. It's time. And it's a timetable that we didn't even create.
And we did touch on this a little bit, or you did, I should say, but on the topic of these reptilian aliens, they seem to always be they have a very bad reputation because of the work of David Icke and stuff like that. Now, do you believe these are real, or is this just part of the deception and distraction?
Yeah, it's a bit of a misdirect. They don't want us to know who's really in charge and how close they are to us. I mean, it's, you know, one of the things that they've done to us is we're divided. That's how we remain conquered. We have no sovereignty and we have no integrity when it comes to humanity. We're constantly at each other's throats, right? For whatever reasons, political, religious, you name it. Bringing in another boogeyman is a very simple thing for them to do, and it's very useful. So personally, most of what we're being told is accurate, and that's by design. I mean, you think about some of the things that these people, so-called super soldiers, oh, I'm out now. Yeah, sure. How did you get out of that program? They've been training you all your life. Now they just kick you out on the curb and they're just so you can go on the radio. Yeah, I'm sure you're telling us what you think is real. Is it accurate? No.
Yeah, some of these super soldiers, like a guy looks like my plumber or something like that. He doesn't look like Captain America.
No, but see, okay, here's the thing. Not everybody is the on the front line. They're not the point guy. In other words, for every soldier is deployed, there's at least 10 people supporting him in the field. And they're not all muscular and built, whatever. They're not Captain America. They're clerks. Or in this day and age, everybody is an IT guy practically, right? You have to know something because everything's networked.
Yeah.
But it's getting more complex all the time. So in other words, you could have like super nerds. I mean, I imagine they do. I'm sure they do. They have like, you know, super techies that are running around making sure that everything goes smoothly. But they're not like, I like listening to some of these guys, especially William Tompkins. I find him fascinating because I know some of what he's saying is true, but his understanding or his misunderstanding of the picture is extremely off. I mean, I know he's not intentionally doing that, but that's the ultimate outcome of that. Tom DeLong is another guy. He's out there making some really bizarre statements, way beyond his pay grade. And that's a government term, by the way. He's not in the government, but he is a Mason. So in essence, he's part of the shadow government, also known as the deep state. So yeah, okay, he's a rock star. I could care less, you know. But he's also just a pawn. The stuff that he's out there talking about, he's doing that on behalf of DARPA's secret agency called the Jason Society. And I guess, you know, Mr. DeLong thinks it's really fun or cool or something. It's a marketing opportunity, I guess, for him to sell T-shirts or something. But it's really very misleading.
Now, one thing that I often wonder to myself is, how exactly dangerous is it sticking my nose in places where it probably doesn't belong? Is it dangerous to research this stuff? What do you think about that?
Yeah, from personal experience, I could say, unfortunately, they've never done anything horrible to me. But yeah, the intimidating me with the black helicopter, and then sometime after that, they actually sent two of the double rotor helicopters to my house. I'm a civilian, okay? You could hear those things coming from miles away. When they came over the house, it was shaking the entire neighborhood. I mean, very low, doing crazy maneuvers. I mean, my mouth was just, my jaw was open. I was just aghast at what they were doing. But, you know, they feel like that's all they got. That's their only game plan. They have to remain in the shadows. They want to intimidate, control, manipulate, kill, whatever. I mean, it's a very limited thing that they got going on there. And the other thing is, for me personally, I know that the benevolent ones are watching everything that goes on here. And it's very difficult for us to know really when they're intervening because they do it. It's just very subtle. They never violate our free will. They don't ask for any publicity. They don't need it. And again, if they want us to cooperate, they just ask. They don't play games. You know what I mean? They just hey, if you wanted help through this, then we can do that. It's just a negotiation. It's straight up. There's no hidden agenda. So I guess this is what I'm trying to say. This sounds really weird. I know that I've had a lot of help from the benevolent ones along the way. And I'm not the only one. That doesn't make me invincible, but it just like, it does change the dynamic. I guarantee you the guys on the other side of the really dark entities, they have to think twice before they mess with me because they're not just, I'm not here by myself. If I was, I think I'd be a lot, I'm sure I'd be a lot more strategic, if not completely covert about what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's dangerous. Of course it is. It's like swimming with sharks. You don't want to bleed, right? Don't bleed. Not even a drop, because then if they smell blood, and again, okay, that's just a terrible analogy. They feed off of fear and anger. So I've had to learn how to manage my fear response, you know, the fight or flight. That's what they, that's how the button that they want to push on us. And it's a big button for most of us. And that includes me. For a long time, they were playing that game on to me until I realized, oh, okay, so every time you push the button and I give you what you want, that makes you stronger and me weaker. Well, screw that. You know, no, we're not playing that game anymore. No. Because see, it's the thing. We do have the ability to control our emotions. If we don't, then we are controlled by them remotely. That's, these entities do that to us. So this is why I've been telling people, I know it sounds overly simplistic, but it actually does. It does make a difference. So being calm, especially when things are chaotic, being kind, especially when people are being cruel, and be creative whenever possible in any capacity. So why is that important? Well, because we were created by a creator to be creative. If you remember what I told you about consciousness, its primary purpose is to create. On the entire scale, from entire universes down to, like, you know, a rock or a tree or anything, everything. Okay. And if you think about what I said too about everything being connected, so the entity, the old soul that manifested, created this entire universe, which is one amongst many, probably an infinite number of universes, is connected to and responsible for, is the parent of all of us, of all of everything in that universe. It is, but it doesn't control us. It gave us free will. It gave us autonomy, independence, so that this can keep growing. So we can be as seeds of, just full of analogies, right? If we're like, I see us as seeds of light. We came from a tree of light, okay? But that tree of light came from a seed and so on. That's what I was saying about being a fractal, right? And we don't know where it all started. It's kind of irrelevant, but here's the thing. We are part of that. We are not insignificant. We are seeds of light in this garden. Unfortunately, our growth has been interrupted by this illness. The conditions for growth are badly inhibited. So, and again, this is why the greater family who are not infected are looking at this saying, whoa, we need to help them. This has got to be resolved. They need to be rehabilitated, you know? And so that's why there's a lot going on behind the scenes. One of the things that I would caution people is as we get forward into this next, hopefully the final stage act, whatever here, of the Luciferian Empire, that when he shows up and pretends to be here to save everybody and everything's going to be great, a lot of people are going to fall for it. And then either before or after that, there's going to be this final wave of energy that just wakes everybody up on every level, and they can see through everything, all the lies. It'll make Pizzagate look like a picnic. Everybody's going to know everything. We're not going to need WikiLeaks or the internet or anything. Everybody's just going to go, holy crap. They can see and know everything organically because of this web of light. They'll be fully connected to it, broadband, right? And at that point, they have to make a choice. Now, what I was told is don't freak out, but a lot of people, well, it may feel like a lot. I think one is too many, but I was told that a lot of people who've been here for a long time, recycled here, their souls have been recycled here for a very long time, and they're so ingrained into being a prisoner to these predators that, again, what I said about Stockholm Syndrome, that once they are offered their freedom, they will reject it. And because, as I said before, that free will is a really big part of this whole process, that that has to be honored. And I, when I was shown that, and when I mean, okay, I'm talking, I hate to use this word because it's so jaded. I'm talking about telepathy. That is not just words. Telepathy is like having a little mini movie downloaded into your head. And what's crazy about it is it's not just words. It's not just pictures. There's an emotion. Or there's it's awesome, but it's freaky too, because it's like I wasn't sure if that was really just my imagination or not because who knows, right?
Yeah, I've had
how do you that. Validate it?
I've definitely had that. I've had the same problem.
We all are. Hey, yeah. Look, that's normal. I know it seems freaky when it happens, but my understanding is that's perfectly normal. That's what healthy human beings are supposed to do. Okay? And that's what I'm talking about. At some point, if everybody has that ability all at once, oh, God. We're not going to be doing podcasts anymore and YouTube. That's out. Why do that? Okay? Because you can just think something up and download it or share it or whatever. It's going to be, here's the thing. It already exists. It's not like we have to create it. We just need to reconnect with it. And in some ways, it's going to be like almost learning how to walk all over again. We're going to have, it's going to take a while to acclimate to that ability, having that ability again. But that's what's coming. And some people, as I said, are going to be actually scared of it. Here's what I understand. For this, we know this to be true. Some people who've been in jail for most of their life, when they're let out, they can't handle it. They say, I don't feel comfortable here. I want back in. They immediately commit another crime, get back in, feel comfortable. Relatively speaking, that's their comfort zone. So souls who've been here for a very long time, that's what I was warned. You can't force them to choose freedom. So, and I'm really sad about it, honestly. It really, really makes me sad because, I mean, for the past, like I said, it's been over 30 years now. My goal has been to not only figure this out, but to get rid of these things. I mean, I've always felt that way, you know, any kind of parasite. I don't want parasites on me, or I don't want them harming anybody, you know. If I have any ability to stop that, I'm going to do it. I'm all for it, you know, because I don't like to see people suffer. Why? Because I'm healthy enough. I still have empathy.
Yeah, it does seem like as soon as you figure these things out, they come up with a new strategy and they're still able to get you.
Well, and here's the thing, though. You might have noticed they're acting more and more desperate. The reason they're doing that is because they know they're losing control over more and more of us. And this has to be done. This had to have been done gradually. Otherwise, the contingency plan for the dark side was to just annihilate us all. Okay, because they, in their crazy perspective of things, they think they see us as their property. We are subjects of their empire. No one can liberate us. That's. It's not even offensive. It's like that in their mind, that's breaking the law, their laws, the completely nutty, insane laws that they created. But, you know, from the very beginning, his empire was built on sand. It's corrupt to the core. It lacks integrity. These guys and girls, all of these souls, they constantly, they don't cooperate. They don't collaborate. They're constantly trying to manipulate and control each other. So it's a house of cards, and you can see that it's falling. And so naturally, because they don't have many options, I mean, a very limited range of That's really all they know, actually, is what this parasitic behavior. They are, they're desperate. Excuse me. And that's why they're acting this way.
Fascinating. We are about to hit the top of the hour. And Robert, first of all, I wanted to thank you. I hope so much we can do this again one day and get updated on all your latest and greatest. But feel free to use this opportunity. Just get on the soapbox. If you want to say any last things, go ahead. Or if you just want to go and plug, please do. Please plug whatever you'd like. Unicus Magazine, anything that you would like, any upcoming talks, or if you're going on any other shows, please use this opportunity.
I need to cut back on doing shows. I was doing six or seven a month last year because I wanted people to be aware of the threat that AI presents to us. And I think I got the message out there. I've been doing a lot more stuff and putting it up on YouTube, which I think is helpful because so many people go there. What else? I'm working on completing my next book, hopefully the last, honestly, about this subject. It's called, currently called The Malibu Chronicles. And it's about what we discussed, but with a lot more detail. What else? Oh, I started producing music videos, which you could see on my YouTube channel. But it's easiest if you just go to, I guess you could click on video or music. Either way, it'll show you. But the whole purpose of that is it ranges from angelic to demonic. I mean, it's kind of weird like that because I've been influenced and touched by both sides. So naturally, my music is going to reflect that. And some of it, especially the dark stuff, is like the next song I'm releasing called "We Are the Archons." I don't ever want to do another song like that ever. I didn't even want to do this one, but it kind of just happened. And I realized that it's serving a purpose, which is to, it allows people to, feel what the archons feel towards about us. And, which is it's disturbing by design. See, most people don't even think this is real, when people listen to music or watch a music video, they're like, oh, it's entertainment. Hey, that's cool. Yeah, but guess what? It's actually, it's touching a part of yourself, your soul, that is vulnerable. And, I'm not doing this to manipulate anybody. It's sort of like it's part of the awakening process. So, oh God, that was a really tough one. I mean, technically, it's difficult too for me to create all the voices of the archons. It's not even all. It's just enough just to give you a flavor. Anybody could listen to that and go, "Oh my God, what kind of creepy crap is that?" You know, it's like, but it's just a way of sort of warning people that these things do exist and this is how they view us. And But the good stuff, the angelic stuff, is very, very pleasant. There's some pretty love songs in there, and the visuals are good too. And I'm just excited about it because I've never really produced videos before, and it's a whole nother level of artistry and creativity that I'm absolutely thrilled with. So those are all out there. There's a lot more to come, but you know, yeah. Honestly, though, I do want to at some point. I want to just be done with this whole paranormal stuff. Cause there's only so much I can say about it. And
I don't blame you.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's like, I know it serves a purpose and everything, but, I have a family, you know, and most of my passion in life is to do creative work. And so to be focused on this for as long as I have, it's actually a real pain in the neck, but, I do appreciate people that have contacted me, encouraging me and thanking me. That's nice. That's not why I'm doing it. But at some point I will retire, honestly, for real. I just don't need to do this for much longer. I think cause, I pretty much said everything that I know or feel to be true. And, the Malibu book is important though. I do feel badly that there's so many people that have gone there not knowing how dangerous it is. And have either gotten cancer or lost their life in other ways. It's just, I really want people to understand that if you go there, it's very dangerous. very, very dangerous. And I'll just leave it at that. But so thanks for having me on. I appreciate the work you're doing. Let me just tell you this. It's not insignificant. These conversations that we've been having, that you are archiving, are really important to the collective consciousness. And it is part of the healing process. It isn't just entertainment, although sometimes it is amusing or intriguing. This is how we're getting well, believe it or not. I know this may sound weird, but this is our medicine. Since we're dealing with consciousness, having this level of conversation is actually part of how we get well. So I do thank you again, and I hope you understand how important this is, what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, it is just so, so great what you're doing. And I think that you are talking about something that I don't really hear anybody putting it together the same way. And I like the way that you keep things kind of open and you know, you're willing to change your perspective if new information comes forward. And mostly just thank you once again. I've wanted to talk to you for so long just because I've had so many of these weird experiences, and I think these things are in my head all the time, basically. So no. I do definitely appreciate your kind words and your advice. And I'd definitely like to talk to you again if you are still doing it. And if you're not, like I said, I don't blame you. Hopefully you'll have a good retirement.
Look, I don't want to mislead people. I'm living a very good life by human standards. I'm middle class, always have been. And it's becoming increasingly rare. But I also know that, you know, where I do count my blessings every day. I don't hate it here. And by the way, I don't hate or fear Lucifer. I want people to understand that too. I'm not on a crusade. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just pointing out the fact that he is ill. The people around him are ill. That this is an infection that is contagious, and I feel it puts things into the proper context. Because I hear this from a lot of people. Oh, it's inconceivable, incomprehensible. I don't understand. Well, how could anybody just go cut somebody's head off, you know, in the name of God? Well, I'm giving you an explanation. It's probably not the one you would have thought of or that you want to hear, but I think it's accurate. That's why I'm sharing it. And yes, if tomorrow somebody, because I always answer all my emails, if somebody sends me an email tomorrow that corrects this, if they can show me where I'm wrong and give me some better, more valid information, well, guess what? You and I are going to be doing another show, and I'll put up an article. And I mean, I have no ego involved in this. I don't have any hidden agenda. I just want us to get access to the truth and ultimately get well. Everybody, not just some of us. I want everybody to get well because we're all family.
Awesome. And once again, thank you so much, Robert. I hope to talk to you again one day. But until then, enjoy the rest of your evening, and you have a good night.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. And there you have it. That was Robert Stanley. He's been on so many programs, such as Coast to Coast, of course, many times, and so many podcasts. I've heard so many of them, but I really thought that that was a special interview. I was able to ask him some questions that I haven't heard asked before, and I highly recommend everybody to go check out his work, buy his books, listen to his other interviews, and pay close attention to his research, because I really believe that he is bringing something very special and highly accurate forward. And I especially love what he has to say regarding, hey, we don't really know what's going on. A lot of this is a deception. We have to discern this stuff. I'd like to think that that is what the show is about. But unfortunately, I know I'm not supposed to ever say this, but I got to be real with you guys. I got to piss like a racehorse. So I'm going to go ahead and play a tune for you guys, and I'll explain what this tune is after I come back. But until then, enjoy. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to End of Days Radio. This is your host, Daniel. That tune that you just heard, it is called Odin's Chalice Version 3. And guess who that was by? None other than our buddy Al. You guys know who Al is, right? He calls into this show every so often, and he talks about all kinds of strange things. Some of it is very interesting. He also goes by the name of Jesus Christ, which is awesome. But let me tell you, I was skeptical of Al and his music. He wanted me to listen to his music. You know, I get sent so many things. So a lot of times I just kind of, you know, I'll ignore it until I'm able to get to it. But I finally took the time to listen to Al's music. And oh my God, is this good? This is really legitimately awesome. It is good. It is something that I would legitimately listen to on my own. I just cannot believe how talented the guy is. So big shout out to Al. Thank you so much for letting me use this great music of yours on the show. It fits the theme so well, and I definitely enjoy playing it. So shout out to Al. Oh boy, so much has been happening lately. I did just want to talk a little bit about a few things that have been going on in the world. We'll just talk a little bit in general. Use this last half hour, this wrap-up portion of the show, to just kind of ramble on about things if you are so interested in hearing me talk about various subjects. I actually like this part of the show because it lets me talk and it lets me express myself. So I love being able to get behind the mic and just talk about whatever's going on in the news, or just if I have some thoughts about something or some advice or some opinions. One thing that I wanted to start off with is I just wanted to remind everybody that I have no agenda here. I don't make a dime off this show. It all goes back into the cost of hosting. I don't make any money off of this. I enjoy the attention. I mean, who wouldn't? But ultimately, my ego isn't the main goal here. You know, it's good to have a healthy ego and to have things in your life to build your self-esteem, but no, that's not the main goal here. And believe it or not, I don't have any agenda to become a stand-up comedian or anything like that. I know a lot of people think, oh, Daniel, you're always making jokes. You're trying to be funny. He's trying to get into stand-up comedy. He's trying to be Joe Rogan. No. I'm not trying to become a stand-up comic or anything like that. I wouldn't even, like, how would I even go from doing this to that? It just doesn't make sense. I really feel I have a mission here. I believe in it. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get knowledge out there to humankind, to mankind, especially young people, because, you know, while this show is for everybody, I do notice that young people in particular nowadays, they just stare at their phones and they don't really read that much. So I would really like to connect with them because they're the future. They're the people that, think about it, if they get this information now, what are they going to become 10, 15 years from now? They're going to be, you know, speaking of super soldiers, these people are going to be the truth seekers and researchers of a new generation. And they're going to be so much more ahead of us, if we even make it that far as a human race, that is. But I definitely just want to connect with as many people as possible. And I love for this to be an interactive thing. If there's any way you'd like to contribute to this show, if there's anything you'd like to do for it or anything you'd like it to do for you, let me know. Stay in communication. You guys know how to get to me on Skype. You can get to me through the emails and, you know, Twitter, social media, things like that. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Skype, NinjaShoes777, NinjaShoes on Twitter. So I like to keep this highly interactive. And don't ever, like, treat me like I'm a star or a big shot or anything like that, because that's the last thing that I want. I definitely don't want to be any sort of big shot star or anybody that, I don't want to be perceived as somebody that has a big ego, somebody that's narcissistic. And I'll do certain things, like I'll make music for this show, or I'll, you know, give myself grandiose titles like King of the North, or, you know, stuff like that. Dan, the All-American Man. But all that is just flavoring. It's just, that's my art. That's my expression. I don't really think that I'm a king. In fact, I think that I'm a god. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Calm down. I'm a god pretending to be a king. I'm just kidding. Calm down. Calm down. Don't hate me. Don't hate me. But you guys know what I mean. I just want to be as genuine as possible in doing this. So many people nowadays that are doing this, and nothing against them at all, but they're putting their programs behind a paywall. And, you know, John B. Wells does this, who I have a lot of respect for, as well as several other people. Red Ice Radio does this, who I respect as well. I like both of those shows. I like both of those hosts. But I, once again, I promise you guys, I will never, ever, ever do that. I never want to charge for this. I get off on this being free. I actually get off on it in a way that is really hard to even explain. But I love the idea that I'm putting something together that other people are charging for, and I'm giving it away for free, and I'm doing a better job. Let's be honest, I'm doing a better job. That's just my opinion. Call that conceit, call it vanity, whatever you want to, but it's not that, honestly. I just feel that what I'm doing here, since it doesn't have commercials, since I'm not blathering on about how intelligent I am, you know, except during the after show periods like right now, because of that, I feel like what I'm doing is better than a lot of what is out there. Is it the best? I'm not going to say that. There's some very strong shows out there, some very strong podcasts, so I'm not going to say that I'm the best, but I think that I'm doing a better job than a lot of people are. One thing, I'm consistent. I'm coming on every Saturday night. In fact, I'm trying to do 2 shows a week, which is not easy. These take a lot of planning. They take a lot of effort. But I love it because if I wasn't doing this, I'd be sitting behind a computer or sitting at home with a book open, and I would be reading and I would be researching the same stuff. So this is how I enjoy what I like. This is how I enjoy what I enjoy. And I have an absolute great time doing it. Some different things in the news. There is a hotel in Kentucky. This is in the Inquisitor. They oftentimes have some very strange news. But apparently a hotel in Kentucky had to shut down because there were so many violent paranormal attacks, meaning things were getting thrown around, people were getting slapped, all kinds of stuff. And this is showing up in the news all the time. Like, if you go to Google News, this is how I get my news. I'll just go to Google News and I'll enter ghosts, paranormal, and stuff like that. And you can really see all the weird, strange things going on in the world as we speak. All kinds of weird things. Another big thing in the news, a giant alien hand was found in Peru. So that same source, the Inquisitor, they're reporting that a giant alien hand was found in Peru. What does that mean? Is this some confirmation of the giants that once walked across the earth along with us humans? These giant beings with double rows of teeth and cone-shaped heads, stuff like that? Is that what that is? Is this going to get covered up like all the other stuff gets covered up? Is that what's going to happen? It seems that a lot of these news stories not only come out now, but have come out quite often in the past. It's been alleged that certain museums like the Smithsonian are responsible for keeping a lot of this information hidden. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. Who's really to say? But anytime I see anything giant, anything found, any giant anything found, I'm sorry, I get a little bit excited because it confirms to me that indeed our history is wrong, or history as we know it is wrong, and there was a time on this earth where giants walked along with man. I'm not going to get too into it because I could probably go on and bring up certain researchers and, you know, kind of parrot what they have to say, but I'm not going to do that tonight. We'll keep that for another day when we actually have a guest that can come on here and talk to me about that. But in the meantime, I highly recommend you guys look up this stuff about giants. You know, we talked about Sitchin quite a bit with Robert Stanley, who's just on, and he's one of the guys that brought this theory to the forefront of there having been giants walking across the earth back in the old days. And who knows how big they actually would get. I've heard that they get well beyond what we think of as giants nowadays, where, you know, like Andre the Giant, he was like 7.5 feet, something like that. Well, some of these giants may have been 10 feet, even 15, 16 feet, literally big enough where they could hold you in the palm of the hand, or at least, you know, grab you around the waist with their hand and shake you around. Lends a lot to that, to those old tales. You know, the other day I was talking about how these dragons may have been dinosaurs that you hear in a lot of these old tales. Well, maybe the same thing was happening with the giants. Giants living in caves in semi-modern times and medieval times, and every so often one would need to be taken care of. Oh, giants eating all our grain? Oh, giants stealing all of our beer? Oh, the giant is eating all of our cattle? Well, let's send somebody to go kick his butt, you know, drive a sword through his belly and cut him open or something like that. I imagine it probably did happen. The heroes of old, occasionally they'd have to go dispatch a giant or dispatch a dragon or something like that, right? I'm sure there's a lot of genuine mythology there, as well as history. It's probably mixed together, and one inspires the other, as in our history inspires the mythology. So interesting, giant hand found in a cave in Peru. Might want to look more into that. Also in the news, a routine flight became bizarre as pilots attempt to communicate with the UFO. This is actually from the Chilean army, I believe, Chilean military. So apparently they saw something weird and they tried to communicate with it. And as usual, things just kind of went haywire. You know, what can you do? What can you do if you see a UFO? Try to communicate with it. What are you going to do? Wave some flags around or try to communicate it with your radio equipment? What are you going to do? I don't know. My recommendation is forget the electronics. Forget whatever means you're trying to use. These things can communicate with us telepathically. That was just confirmed by our last guest. So if you do see a UFO, your best bet is to just talk to it with your mind and not wave flags at it or shoot off fireworks or anything like that. It's not going to work. They're just going to laugh at you. They're going to play their games. They're going to fly around at an incredibly high speed, and you're not going to get anywhere. So, you know, it's funny because you hear so many stories like this. Oh, I was flying a plane, and the UFO was circling around my plane. It was moving in an impossible way. Yeah, of course it was moving in an impossible way. It's a UFO. And this has been happening for a very, very long time. People have been seeing UFOs. And when you see one, my recommendation is to not panic. Don't panic. You know, try to take some pictures, because we all want to see that. Try to take some video. There's a lot of videos of UFOs and things like that on the internet, but very few aliens. So maybe if you could actually get that UFO to land and for an alien to step out, that'd probably be a lot better. And your best way of making that happen is probably to not have any fear, because you know, your fear, if it's bad, if it's a bad alien, it's probably going to absorb your fear or want to feed off your fear more. And if it's a good alien, it's probably going to get scared off. So you're not going to want to have that fear either way. Oh, let's see what else is in the news. Okay. Donald Trump is making his son-in-law an advisor. Donald Trump is making his son-in-law an advisor. How do I feel about that as a Donald Trump supporter? Do I feel that's a good idea? Seems a little weird. Guy doesn't look very old. I have trouble imagining that he is very wise to this earth, that he really knows what he's talking about. But then you have the trust issue. I imagine I could probably trust family more than people that aren't family. But is that right to put them into a government role? Especially somebody who seems so young. Especially because allegations of nepotism, I believe, have already been going around. So I'm not sure if that's the move. But then again, maybe this guy has something to contribute. Maybe he's worked, I haven't really looked into it. Maybe he's worked for Trump. Maybe he's worked in the business. Maybe he's good, right? Maybe he's good. Maybe he's a good businessman. Maybe he's smart. Trump is the president. He was elected legally, whether a lot of you want to admit that or not. I know there's a lot of people still crying because Trump got elected. And, you know, I could comment on that. I say, at least try to get over it, because he hasn't even been sworn in yet and you're already crying. Let him actually do something wrong before you criticize. Because right now, a lot of you people just look very foolish. A lot of those celebrities out there that are criticizing Trump, just being ridiculous, making clowns of themselves when he hasn't even done a darn thing yet. I really think it's time to settle down and give the guy a chance. And then if he screws up, or at least does something controversial, then, you know, criticize him all day long. But this dump Trump stuff, stop Trump, Trump's a dictator. I mean, come on. That's so childish. He's not a dictator. He's just a rich man, a celebrity, a good businessman that somehow managed to win the presidency. And to act like he's Hitler or the devil is just inaccurate. For one thing, we don't live in Nazi Germany. We live in a democracy, or what's left of a democracy. So how are you comparing Trump to Hitler? And once again, somebody please show me one bit of evidence that Donald Trump is racist. Email it to me. Send it to me over social media, because I'd love to see it. I don't want to see some exaggerated BS, some crazy liberal media spun piece that just, you know, you could tell there's a swerve on it. I want to see something legitimate that proves to me that Donald Trump is racist, or that Donald Trump is a horrible human being, because I haven't seen anything like that yet. I just see a guy trying to make a difference, a guy that's at the end of his life. Look how old he is. He only has so much time left. Give him a chance. You know, and I hope I don't end up regretting my words, because if Trump does turn out to be horrible, then I will admit it. I will admit it on this program. I will say, look, I backed the wrong guy. I should have backed Hillary Clinton. No, I'm not going to say that. I should have backed Bernie Sanders. I will admit that I should have backed, the candidates were so bad. Who would I even go with? Jeb Bush? I don't know. I'm not going to say that I should have voted for Bush. He didn't even make it past the primary, so what would be the point of that? But I will. I'll admit it. If Trump starts screwing up, if he becomes the person that people say that he is, I will admit it on this program. And you can call me out on it. I don't care. A lot of women stealing babies. A lot of women stealing babies. Why are they stealing babies? Why do women steal babies? Chances are it's somebody that either cannot have kids or is just extremely mentally ill. Most likely both, right? Protect your kids, people. I mean, there's a lot of women out there that are looking for kids to steal. Meaning, if you leave your kid alone in its stroller, if you leave your kid at the park by themselves, especially if they're extremely young and they can't cry for help, there's always a chance that your baby could get stolen by one of these women that cannot have kids. And they're crazy. You heard that story years ago of that woman that actually attacked a pregnant woman, ripped her baby out, and the woman lived, but the baby died. She cut it out of her belly just because she was so crazy and she wanted a baby. It's just, you know, it's horrific. She destroyed two lives because of her crazy baby frenzy. You know, very mentally ill, sick woman, you know, destroyed that woman's life, took her child away just because she was jealous or whatever was going on. Terrible, terrible, terrible. So, you know, watch your kids. Watch them like there's an eagle that's going to come down and pick them up and take them away. Because there are a lot of these sick women out there that wish they had kids. And there's a lot of these pedophiles out there, and these demonic beings and archons, whatever they are. They're encouraging these pedophiles to engage in their behavior. And you don't want your kid to be scarred like that. Trust me. Keep an eye on your kids. I know it's impossible to watch them at all times. I completely agree with that. You cannot watch your children at all times. But be careful who you trust, you know. Yeah, if you're going to hire a babysitter, check them out. Make sure you got that nanny cam in there. Don't let your kids go and play at the park and play on those toys and playing those big toys and stuff by themselves. Don't be one of those parents that just lets their kids go and play on their own. It's maybe you could have gotten away with that back in the 50s, if even. But I know so many parents like that. Oh, kids left. Oh, they're back. Who cares? They're fending for themselves. Don't do that. I mean, don't be overprotective, but you know, don't be a white trash parent that just doesn't put socks on their kids. You know what I'm talking about? Let them run in the street. Don't beat your kids either. Don't beat your kids. It teaches them all the wrong things. Don't beat your kids. I don't have any kids, and I know I shouldn't be giving anybody any advice on children, but it's just my opinion. Oh, what else is going on in the world? SeaWorld. What? SeaWorld? What is he talking about? We're talking about SeaWorld now? Yeah, we're talking about SeaWorld. So, SeaWorld's located in San Diego. I went down there a few years ago. Actually stayed in a hotel very close to SeaWorld, and I really wanted to go because I love dolphins. As you guys know, there's dolphins in the beginning of this show, you know, in the intro music. I love dolphins. I talk about them all the time. I think they're so intelligent, and the same thing applies to orcas and whales and other various dolphin-like creatures, marine mammals. I think they're just so highly intelligent and so fascinating. Oh, but that SeaWorld, it is just so wrong on every level. We've all seen Free Willy, right? You cannot take these creatures that are used to traveling through the ocean. You can't take them and put them in little tanks. It's abuse. It's wrong. Why is it still going on? All of us right now, we should go down to SeaWorld with pitchforks and flaming torches, and we should tear that place down right now. I'm not kidding. That if we were as good a people as we say that we are, that's one of the first things we do. We do something about this homeless problem too. All of us. We join together. We do something about these marine animals. We do something about the homeless. But the truth is, we're not all that great of people, are we? We're weak. We don't have it in us to do something like that. To risk going to jail. To work for homeless people that don't work themselves. That makes us angry, right? We're not going to go and help people that won't help themselves. We don't have a choice. They're not going anywhere. Do you understand that? I'm not saying give them your money. I'm not saying buy them sandwiches. I'm not saying do anything like that. But what I'm saying is, as a society, we need to do something about these homeless people. I live in Seattle, and I'm sure many of you are aware of what's going on out here. We have a very liberal local government, and they're letting the homeless people run rampant, and things are getting bad. But it just shows the overall problem. The mental health aspect of our government is terrible. These places are just badly run businesses that are underfunded. Another problem is the lack of jobs, the unemployment rate, the fact that it's hard to get an education without taking out loans, the fact that drugs are rampant throughout our society. Drugs are a problem. I'm for people, you know, smoking their weed or dropping their LSD hits or whatever, but I'm not for heroin or meth or crack. I think that stuff needs to be contained. I'm not a libertarian. I don't believe that. I don't believe that all drugs should be legal. That's insane to me. I don't understand that at all, except maybe it would save money. I don't think that we should let crack and cocaine and meth and heroin infiltrate our neighborhoods. I don't. You're not going to convince me that that's okay. You're not going to do it because that stuff is terrible. It's demonic. You know, you want to do your mushrooms, your pot, or your beer, or whatever, fine. I know certain ones are acceptable. They're okay. They're not probably not going to hurt you. They're not going to ruin your life. And those should all be legal. Absolutely. I totally get that. But don't tell me that meth or heroin should be legal. That just doesn't make sense. That stuff is so addicting. And once you start, you cannot stop. You can't stop. Don't ever even think about touching any of that. Don't. That's me telling you. All of you people out there, if you ever get offered any of those drugs, you better remember what I'm saying right now. You better not even touch them. That's from me personally. Because that's a one-way ticket to hell. It's a one-way ticket to hell. And no one's going to pull you out of that. You might have help, but you're not going to want it. You dig? Who would win in a fight between the Hulk and Superman? Am I really going to talk about this? I don't even know if I want to go here. The Hulk and Superman, I mean... It's just such a ridiculous question. This isn't a comic book show. It's not about superheroes fighting each other. Sorry, I got to go with Superman. He can fly. He can move super fast. He has heat vision. He has breath that can freeze things. He can vibrate through objects. He has powers that I don't even remember. Superman has powers that sometimes show up spontaneously throughout the years. Of course Superman would win. The thing that the Hulk has to give him an advantage, for those of you that kind of know superheroes and superhero movies and comics, is he can get stronger the longer the fight goes on. But here's the problem. The Hulk does not have super speed. The Hulk cannot fly. The Hulk has no sort of energy projection. So realistically, Superman is going to fly around his head super fast, and he's going to burn the Hulk's head and just burn the Hulk's head down to a crisp, and then the Hulk will just, you know, fall over dead. Maybe he'll grow a new head. No problem. Superman scoops him up and tosses him into the sun. The fight's over. The Hulk is not on the level of Superman. Don't try to tell me that he is. The Hulk is not going to beat Superman. The Hulk is an awesome character. He's one of my favorite characters in comics, and he's insanely powerful. He's insanely powerful. He's one of the strongest heroes. He's one of the most powerful heroes. But Superman is on the level of a god. He's just that much higher on the food chain. He's on a completely different level, like a lot of these DC heroes. There's a lot of cool things about Superman. I mean, just to tie it back into, you know, paranormal. He's an alien. He draws energy from the sun, which is kind of interesting because the sun is worshipped by a lot of ancient cultures. So right there, those are some ways that Superman ties into this. I just want to talk about Superman. Let me level with you. I want to talk about Superman the Hulk. It has nothing to do with the show. But you know what I mean? Yeah, Superman, he takes that fight he takes it 10 times out of 10. And you know what? Maybe I'll do some other matchups in the future. We'll see. We'll see. Gnosticism. Talked about that a little bit with our guest, right? Yeah, I'm into it. I think that it's fascinating. There's not a whole lot there. There's not a whole lot there. We have very little information about these people, what they believe, what they're into, but I like it because one of the general themes of Gnosticism is that I'm never going to have it. I'm never going to have all the answers. I'm never going to have the absolute truth. No matter what I find out, it's always going to have an element of deception there. And the Gnostics knew this. And they knew this because they had direct experience with these odd entities and beings. They had direct experiences and they were being deceived. They managed to discern it a little bit and form some sort of belief or religion about it. Admittedly, I don't know every little thing there is to know about Gnosticism or what these people were up to. I should probably research it quite a bit more. But I think as far as all the various religions and belief systems out there, I dig it. I think it's the best out of what is out there. If I had to just pick one, my second choice would probably be Buddhism, because it's so... you don't have to take these huge leaps of faith. So much good wisdom there. So I would go with the Buddhism, but above all, I think Gnosticism. I think it is definitely something that everybody should look into. There's a lot of religions out there, and I think that a lot of them have something to offer, but I like Gnosticism because it's kind of like the anti-religion. It's where you pull things apart and try to, you know, see through the deception. So, and maybe we need a more modern word for it. Because, you know, what are you going to say? Hey, come be a Gnostic. People are going to say, what are you talking about? What's that? That's something from a video game? Oh, yep. So much stuff going on in the world today. In the world right now. You know, a lot of the stuff that we see on the news, it's about celebrities. And I just don't want to talk about them. I don't want to talk about, you know, Soulja Boy and what's the other one? Chris Brown. And they're supposed to have a boxing match or something like that. Oh my God. What is even going on there? Is this fake? Are they really going to box each other? Supposedly Mike Tyson is helping Chris Brown and Floyd Mayweather is helping Soulja Boy. Are you kidding me? It's never going to happen, first of all. They both have too much to lose. It's just a couple of guys trying to get in the headlines, trying to get people to pay attention to them. A lot of these rap artists are just experts at this. It's kind of a pro wrestling model. It's, you know, get people to pay attention to us, get people to choose sides, make it matter, make people pay attention. It's manipulation. It's manipulation. It's a form of it. It's a form of mind control. Professor Griff, he wrote a book. I've talked about this before. It's about hip hop and Illuminati and things like that. I haven't read it yet, but it's on my list, along with a lot of other books. You know, I've talked about this a little bit before, but part of the problem that I have is that I need to read everybody's book. Like, I hate having people on when I haven't read their book yet, but I have this long backlog of books, and I can only get through so many. I'm doing two shows a week. So I just have to do my best to put that time aside and get through it, because I love to read. I love absorbing information through books. And the more you read and the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. And that's the main thing. You just got to keep filling your head with knowledge. Just filling it with knowledge. Just keep going. Because the more you do that, the more wise you'll become, the more powerful you'll become. And really, knowledge is truly power. Above all things, knowledge is power. The pen is mightier than the sword. It always has been and it always will be. So don't feel bad if you're not athletic or you don't play sports or you're not that type of person. Don't feel bad if you're an intellectual or an artist or even if you're not, if you're not athletic and you're not smart and you're not an artist, you still shouldn't feel bad, because chances are you have something that you can contribute that is entirely original. Or maybe you're just a good person and your friends and family love you very much. And you know what? That's good enough too. That is good enough too. You don't have to be anything for anybody. All you got to do is live. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to be better than the Joneses. You don't even have to keep up with them. Why would you? Right? Why would you? You don't have to do anything. When you're young, you want to be involved in stuff. I get it. You want to go out there and compete. There's nothing wrong with that. That's natural. You're living your life. But there comes a time when we all have to go out to pasture. Where we all have to think about retirement, where we all have to think about how are we going to spend our golden years. And it comes fast. I'm 34 years old. I'm still what some people would call young. I haven't reached that middle age yet, but I'm getting there. And these past 10 years have gone by so quick. These past 10, 15 years, it's just gone by in a flash. It's been crazy. It's been crazy. Am I proud of what I've done? In some ways, yeah. Do I wish I would have done more? In some ways, yes. But I'm just glad that I was able to have a chance to be on this earth and learn and evolve, because that's really the bottom line, is that spiritual evolution. We're not really here to be kings. We're not really here to do this or that or accomplish things. We're here to experience accomplishing things. We're here to experience it. It's the journey. You know how they say that it's not the destination, it's a journey. It's so true. It's the journey. So don't feel bad if you haven't gotten to where you think you should be. Because trust me, you're exactly where you should be. You're exactly where you want to be. It's all you. You are exactly where you're supposed to be. Okay, what is there else to talk about? Yeah, that's pretty much it. I do have... I'm not sure if I'm going to do a show this Saturday. I'm not sure. Because I have some other plans that are kind of tempting me, but I'm not sure if I want to do it. So I'm probably not going to have a show next Saturday. I know that I promised to be here every Saturday night, no matter what. But I did do two shows this week. Remember, I did a show Saturday, and I did a show today, and I think that I just did a show, like, not that long before that. My show with Ralph Ellis was the Tuesday before that. So I've been doing two shows a week. So I need a break. I'm sorry. I love you guys. I want to keep doing two shows a week. I want to keep being here every Saturday night. But this Saturday, I think I'm going to take it off. Because even I need a chance to unwind. Even the great and all-powerful King of the North, Daniel, he needs to do a hunt and relax. He needs to go hunting for some wild deer and get things off his mind for a short period. So I'm going to take a little break. This Saturday, I'm not going to be here. You know, do whatever you want. I recommend for you guys to use this Saturday to go out and do something that you would do on a Saturday, because you know you don't always have to be, you know you always don't have to listen to my live show, right? I mean, I don't want you guys to give up things to listen to me, because you can listen to me at any time. This is a podcast. You can download it through iTunes, and you can listen to it at work, when you're driving. I want you guys to know that I like when you do. I like when you listen to my show when you drive to work. I like when you listen while you're at work. I like when you listen while you're doing other projects and things. I think that's awesome. And when you can make it to the live show to interact, I absolutely love that too, because that is so much fun. Because you can interact, you can ask me questions on the fly, you can talk to me, and I love that. It's like a party. It's like a party. And I kind of want to get back to that a little bit. We've drifted off of that kind of because, you know, I've been nitpicking things about the show, trying to make it perfect to my vision. But I want to get back to that strong live show. I want to get back to that because it's so much fun. And when you guys call in and ask questions, it just makes it all the better. So I want to get back to that a little bit. I'm rambling, aren't I? Aren't I? It's okay. You can tell me when I'm being boring. Trust me, I know. You don't have to tell me. Just know, I'm going to close out now. I'm going to close out. Wait for it. Just know that you can get this show every Saturday night live on Saturday at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. Go to endofdaysradio.com. And that's also where you can watch all of our past shows, listen to all of our past shows, all of my past shows, sorry. You can listen to my past shows. Just hit that download link, click play on the YouTube video version, subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Stitcher. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at Ninja Shoes. That's me. I do love the Twitter. What else is there? Next guest. Oh my God. On the 21st, there probably will be a show in between, but on the 21st, MV from Belgab. Yes, the creator of Belgab. That's going to be crazy. There's been a lot of drama on Belgab lately. Belgab is pure drama, and I love every second of it. So big shout out to Belgab. Shout out to Shafiz, Briggs, Star, Yorkshire Pud, Ciardello. Shout out to Little Chris. Shout out to, what else are some of these names? AK Willie. Shout out to Meat Pie. Shout out to all of you guys over at Belgab. You guys are so funny, and I love talking to you guys. You know, this show will never be like a Gabcast or a Belgab-driven show or anything like that, rightfully so, but I do absolutely love Belgab. That place is a good community. You know, big shout out to MV for letting me and everybody else just say whatever we want to, just letting that free speech flow. So big shout out and plug to Belgab.com. I will definitely always plug that community because it is great. And if you enjoy me, if you're a fan of pro wrestling or mixed martial arts, I do have an entirely separate show, believe it or not, that is the Ninja Shoes Pro Wrestling and Mixed Martial Arts Show. And you can go to ninjashoes.net to get that. I haven't done a whole lot of shows. It's just kind of a, you know, side project, something fun where I don't have to talk about all these depressing things all the time, like the end of the world or demons driving me crazy. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I just want to watch some wrestling. I want to watch some Ronda Rousey, or I want to watch some Wanderlei Silva or some Hulk Hogan, because it passes the time and it puts me in a good mood. So if you are a pro wrestling or MMA fan, you know, check that out. I'm really working hard on that show. This is the main thing. This will always be the main thing, but I'm also doing that and I'm working on that. So just wanted to plug that. Apology to Yuck Nasty. You guys all know Yuck Nasty. He's on the Get in the Corner comedy podcast. I told him he could call in, what was it, last night or the night before when I did that last show? Day before yesterday. And I ended the show and I got offline, and right after that he was ready to go on Skype. So I feel so bad because I've been trying to get him to come on for so long, you know, to plug his show and to shoot the shit. And I kind of screwed him up. So I kind of screwed him over just because I wasn't on top of things enough. So, you know, big apology to Yuck Nasty. I don't know what happened there, but, you know, whatever you need from me, I'm there for you, buddy. So once again, I apologize for that. And otherwise, that's it. I mean, shit, that's it. All of you guys, thank you so much. I think I'm going to use this call sign. Thank you so much, everybody. I am the voice in the night. We are the resistance.
Winter's coming.
The king has returned
from the broken ruins of Babylon. This is